Welcome to the Buckmaster Show for Friday, February 1st, 2013, and I hope you're having a great day and are looking forward to Super Bowl weekend. Where did January go? I'm Dan Shear, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sowetita Sun newspapers, in today for Bill Buckmaster, who's taking a well-deserved break, and we thank you for choosing the Buckmaster Show. The show is live Monday through Friday from noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We are streaming the show live at buckmastershow.com, tucsoncitizen.com, and tucsonsentinel.com. There are also links to the show at gvnews.com, the homepage for the Green Valley News, and there is a link to the show at blogforarizona.com. We have two guests and one very rough topic to tackle in today's Friday Focus. We're talking about the end of life, and more specifically, whether each of us should be able to determine just when that happens. There are a lot of issues tucked into that overarching description, and we have two guests who are going to help us define them. In studio with me is John Fanning of Green Valley, and John is the Southern Arizona Affiliate Coordinator for Final Exit Network. And on the phone from Rochester, New York, is Stephen Drake, a research analyst for an organization called Not Dead Yet. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you, Dan.
Stephen, you there?
Yes, I am.
Great. Good to have you. Hey, John, tell us a little bit about the work of Final Exit Network.
What I'd like to do, Dan, and I don't normally do this, is read our guiding principle. It won't take me long, but there's so much demagoguing of this issue. So many misconceptions of it, I thought reading our guiding principle would help to kick this thing off. Mentally competent adults have a basic human right to end their lives when they suffer from a fatal or irreversible illness or intractable pain, when their quality of life is personally unacceptable and the future holds only hopelessness and misery. Such a right shall be an individual choice, including the timing and companion, free of any restrictions by the law, clergy, medical profession, even friends and relatives, no matter how well-intentioned. We do not encourage anyone to end their life, do not provide the means to do so, and do not actively assist in a person's death. We do, however, support them when medical circumstances warrant their decision.
Okay, so what is the role of Final Exit Network when someone comes to you and says, hey, I'm thinking about ending my life, what happens?
I can talk to a couple of instances there, Dan. One is if a person comes to me and says, I'm looking to end my life, first of all, to come to me, he or she would have to be a member to get involved with this. And then there's an 800 number that they would call. They'd leave their name and number, and a case coordinator would call them back. And the process would begin with a case coordinator interviewing them, getting medical information, requesting information from a doctor, and going through a series of questions that are time-proven to weed out the things we need to weed out. The case then, if the case coordinator seems to think it does, will be turned over to another person called a final exit guide. He or she will then interview the person, and in many cases, come to the person's home and interview them there. So that's basically the process. However, okay. I have a case in Green Valley of a lady. She's 94 years old. She was probably part of Mr. Drake's organization, Not Dead Yet, who I'm sure many people are. We are not dead yet, thank goodness. But she's 94 years old, and the window of opportunity for her to make that decision regarding her life has passed her. She will call me about every month. I will go over and visit her. She's a person with disabilities. She's cooped up in a room by herself. She virtually has nobody coming. Her relatives are all gone. Her kids are all gone. And she says to me, please, please help me end my life. And obviously, I can't and I won't. But she begs and begs and begs. And at least at one point, she even offered me money to help her do it.
Stephen, John says they don't assist people who want to end their lives. Do you believe him?
Well, I'm not sure what assist really means. I mean, Members of Final Exit Network have made different claims at different times, and they really come into conflict. Mr. Fanning himself wrote in an op-ed a couple years ago that if John Selmer, a man in Georgia, who Final Exit Network, facilitated the suicide, or you know, was there and helped clean up the equipment afterwards, said that if he'd lived in Oregon, he never would have needed them, which was an absurd claim because John Selmer was cancer-free at the time of his death, and in Oregon, you need to be terminally ill, have 6 months or less to live. They've also said they don't give assistance. They don't provide materials. And yet their former medical director, Lawrence Egbert, has gone to the press and said that, you know, he regularly provided used exit bags to people so they didn't have to pay for them. And he also, the former medical director, said that, you know, at the time that he was screening applications, he basically okayed all but maybe three out of a couple hundred. And at the time when he was medical director, they were making the same claims about the careful review process that they're making now.
So you think?
I don't know what to make of their claims.
So you think a lot of these things are just being rubber stamped, and if somebody comes to them and says, I want to end my life, they're going to pretty much be helped through the process.
Well, that seems to be, that certainly is the record we saw, you know, during some of the cases we know about.
Okay. And before we get too far into it, give us a little synopsis of what Not Dead Yet is all about.
Well, Not Dead Yet is a nationwide group of disability rights activists who helped to organize the disability community in opposing laws that would legalize assisted suicide or euthanasia, and also lethal discrimination in the medical system. We also keep on the lookout for biased reporting in the news. Quite often when in domestic violence, when another family kills another person, the reaction is, portraying the perpetrator as a monster, unless, of course, the victim was disabled. And then, of course, the term mercy killing often comes out, even in the absence of evidence that the person was suffering or wanted to be killed.
Okay. John, does Final Exit Network help people end their lives, people who are not terminal?
Yes, we will. If a person requests for us to come in and look at his or her situation, we will.
Okay. Give us a situation.
But this thing about assisting people, that's a slippery slope. And I'd like to just say that we're in a very vulnerable position as far as claims made by Mr. Drake and others, in that we haven't found a way, and maybe Mr. Drake can help us, to bring back the person who actually made the decision to terminate their life. And if we could bring them back, they'd be the best one for us to have on the defense. Unfortunately, we can't, and then we have people who come in and second-guess the person who made the decision to terminate their life, and that's a real problem. As far as helping people, Final Exit Network will serve many that other organizations will not. The network will serve members suffering from cancer, neurological diseases such as ALS, Gehrig's disease, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and Huntington's. So we have a broad range of areas where we will at least talk to the individual and see where they are and see if we can help them.
But again, the person doesn't need to be terminal.
No, and the person does not have to be 6 months from by the doctors for death.
Right, okay, like under hospice care or something. Go ahead.
My question is then, why have you implied that in editorials that you in op-eds that you've written?
Well,
if you've got a strong case to make and you believe in it, why do you need to misrepresent yourself?
Well, I would have to go back and look at my editorials, but
it was an op-ed that obviously was coming from a template that was handed out to Final Exit Network members because it was identical to several other ones that went out along the same time.
Yeah. If I use the terminology assist, I was simply talking about in the context of being with them, talking to them, comforting them, showing them love and support. Assist did not mean anything about helping them actually commit the act.
But let's zero in on this.
Actually, I'm talking about suggesting that John Selmer in Georgia was not terminally ill, would never have needed Final Exit Network if he'd lived in Oregon. When actually Final Exit Network has actually just recently opened a chapter in Oregon and have made it clear in a press release when Washington passed a statute that the Washington statute didn't go far enough and that they would be assisting people in Washington and every other state that didn't have a wide-open policy on assisting people.
Okay, and we've thrown out a couple of terms here, so I want to make it real clear to people. John, exactly how does the life end? And Final Exit Network has a process. How does somebody kill themselves?
Yeah, I hesitate, and I think it's really irresponsible, Dan, for me to go into methods for people ending their lives. We have a wide audience out there, and we perhaps have some people that have been deemed clinically depressed, and I would hate to go into ways people can end their lives. And I do this because I've talked to many paramedics, and if you talk to the paramedics, you will see that they've been in numerous cases where people have used really violent methods to end their lives. And so I think a discussion of that it would be irresponsible of me.
Okay, we're gonna take a caller now. We have Linda on the line. Linda, are you there? Go ahead with your question.
Thank you so much for this discussion, and I enjoy your program. My comment is I truly believe that people who are on the side of euthanasia, which I am, of course I wouldn't be calling, should be able to have the autonomy to make their own decisions, especially like someone who's middle aged and they're not running away from the law or something like that, should be able to do what they want to do without being subjected to the fear. And I understand the fear on the other side because they're looking at the Holocaust, they're looking at genocides in other nations. I get that. But at the same time, there's some things in this life that should be personal and private. And as far as the religious side of it, I've read the long version of the Christian Bible cover to cover, verse by verse, and I didn't do it for a course. I just need to do my own look and see. And there is a multitude of dimensions. It's not just one cut and dry.
Okay, Linda. Thank you. You bring up some real good points. It's a very personal decision, and I think that this is something that's come up in a lot of discussions down in Green Valley where this type of topic always draws a crowd. We are going to take a break. We will be back in just a couple of minutes.
Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. It's time once again for the Tucson Festival of Books.
Hi, this is Bill Viner with the Tucson Festival of Books. This literary extravaganza is unlike any other. It is 10 acres of books, authors, exhibitors, food, fun, and entertainment, and it's all free. Arizona Party Rental is a great partner for the Tucson Festival of Books.
Hey, thanks a lot, Bill. We'll see you at the Tucson Festival of Books on the U of A campus, March 9th through the 10th.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing: people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Since 2006, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing more than 500 projects. Current projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and La Cañada Drive from River to Ina. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, and Sun Shuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Dan Scheer sitting in today for Bill Buckmaster. We're here with two guests discussing end-of-life issues and who should make the decision on when that happens. My guests are John Fanning, representing Final Exit Network, which supports what it calls death with dignity. And on the phone from Rochester, New York, is Stephen Drake, a research analyst with Not Dead Yet. If you'd like to join the discussion, our live line is open at 790-2040. That is 790-2040. Stephen, is there any scenario you see under which somebody should be allowed to end his or her life?
No, I don't think there's a policy that really is needed for that at all. And, you know, I'd like to address a couple points the last caller made, you know, because I feel like I got to defend against things I didn't say.
Sure.
Our organization has not and does not bring up arguments around Nazis or that the pro-assisted suicide movement is Hitlerian in any way, or Hitler-like in any way. You'll also be hard-pressed to find appeals to religion or God as part of our arguments. You know, that's not where we come from. We come from the civil rights perspective.
But you call yourself a disability rights group. Do you think groups like Final Exit Network are preying on those with disabilities?
I think they don't see themselves that way. But, you know, let's step back from the thing assisted suicide and look at suicide. We, you know, if you look at suicide in general, it's talked about as a health crisis, meaning that for the majority of people contemplating suicide or attempting it, it's a tragedy to be prevented. But increasingly, what we're talking about is for certain people, old, ill, and disabled people, it's not a tragedy to be prevented, but so-called acts of autonomy to be applauded and facilitated. When you're only carving out an exemption for some of the most devalued people in society, that's not empowerment. It's not honoring autonomy. It's something a lot uglier, especially in a time when people are complaining about how some people are taking more resources from people who are paying too much for them in their taxes.
Okay, then describe the difference between active and passive euthanasia, and do you oppose both of those?
Passive euthanasia involves withdrawing or withholding life-saving medical treatment. The right to refuse treatment is an absolute right. We prefer people have informed consent, and in fact, sometimes people don't, and there are some bad stories around that. But it is a right, and in fact, even guardians can order the withholding or withdrawal of life-sustaining treatment from people who can't make decisions. And an advance directive, person you've directed as a healthcare proxy, can make those decisions. Active euthanasia means the administration of some type of life-ending substance, or providing or directing some means that ends the person's life, whether it's a lethal injection. Kevorkian used to use, but yeah, he used lethal injections, or one that he went public with anyway, and that was the one that got him in jail.
Right.
But that's the difference. In euthanasia, it's a direct killing.
Okay, John Fanning is with Final Exit Network. John, this has not been an easy journey for you to get here. What made you start thinking seriously about end-of-life issues?
Actually, Dan, it started, I had a brush with it way, way back when my mother was lying in a intensive ward and they were trying to revive her and trying to use extraordinary means on her to keep her alive. And she had told us repeatedly, don't do that. And she was, her bowels were ending up in the bed, her bladder was ending up in the bed, they were trying to change the bed and so on, and she was groaning and moaning. And I walked in and she opened her eyes and she looked at me, and to this day, I'm sure in my heart that she was saying, why the heck don't you help me? I finally went to a doctor there and I said, please help this woman. And 15 minutes later, she had passed away. I don't know whether the doctor helped or not, but thank goodness she was. And then I came to Green Valley about 5 years ago, met a gentleman who, brilliant gentleman, served on boards with him. He could not breathe. He got to the point he could not breathe. He could not get enough air no matter how much oxygen he took. And so he introduced me to a lady from Final Exit, and I got interested in it then. In the meantime, I got a letter from him on the day that he passed away, and he said to me, thank you, John, for your support. Thank you very much to Final Exit for their support. I have finally found peace.
Stephen, you hear these stories. What do you think?
You know, I don't know how to judge individual stories. You know, when I hear somebody who's getting to the end of an issue where their breathing is becoming difficult, you know, I'm wondering why they, you know, haven't gotten good palliative care, because there are people who can address those issues. That comes up with things like COPD, and there are ways that don't prolong your life, but make you feel a lot more comfortable without that feeling of gasping for breath, and that you don't need to do an act of suicide, and actually have a little more time, but actually be much more comfortable with. If you have somebody doing palliative care, my first question is, you know, why wasn't there anything else? You know, the problems with stories like these is people, you know, you get the idea that, you know, the only thing that could have changed this scenario is suicide or euthanasia. So we have to believe, with the person who tells us that there was no other option,
but Richard,
could have been explored, and in fact was, you know, but in fact wasn't.
Okay.
But Richard, should not that be the individual's decision? Are we going to come in as laymen, for example? Are we going to come in and take a look at that individual and say, no, you should not do anything at this time. You're getting all the care you need. We're going to make the decision for you that should be your decision to make.
Stephen?
Well, if it's the individual's decision, I'd like to point out that people commit suicide at an alarming rate every day. And if you're talking about autonomy, you know, autonomy to me has meant, you know, taking an action, taking a responsibility, including any unpleasant consequences that may come out of the action you choose. Now, the examples that have been given here have been people who might be seen as too frail to do something on their own, although refusal of treatment and sedation are always a possibility there.
Right.
But most of the people we know about through news stories that become public with the Final Exit Network were fully physically and mentally capable of doing their own suicides. And I would submit that if a person's conditions for committing suicide, that they won't do it unless there's somebody with them to make sure that it goes through and it's foolproof.
Okay.
And maybe they're not really fully committed to doing it.
Okay, we are right up against it. A great topic. I want to thank our two guests, John Fanning of Final Exit Network and Stephen Drake of Not Dead Yet. You can find them on the internet. Tough topic, but you've given us a lot to think about. I want to thank you, gentlemen. After the break, we will join a couple of local journalists to talk about the week's top issues on the Reporters Roundtable.
SRN News, I'm Wally Hines in Washington. It has been more than 5 years since the Dow Jones Industrial Average crossed the 14,000 mark, but it has done so today, and if the gains hold, the blue chip index will be within striking distance of its all-time record of 14,164, which it reached in October 2007. The Obama administration's giving religious nonprofits more leeway to opt out of the birth control mandate from Obamacare. Several Christian organizations say the exemptions don't go far enough. Former Republican Senator Scott Brown won't be running in a Massachusetts special election to fill Democrat John Kerry's seat. That's according to a person familiar with his decision. Mayor Michael Bloomberg says New York's lost an irrepressible icon and its most charismatic cheerleader. Three-term mayor Ed Koch died today. He was 88. More details at srnnews.com.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1-, 2-, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Biosphere 1 is the world we live in. Biosphere 2 is an amazing reflection of Biosphere 1, a UA Science Innovation Center transforming, not conforming. Making ideas happen, like the massive new mountain slopes of the LEO project, which is reinventing Biosphere 2 into a remarkable enterprise for 21st century discovery and imagination. The impossible is possible. Biosphere 2 embraces the complexity about the future of the planet, developing and testing sustainability strategies essential for a better life. Become part of this center that is becoming the incredible new UA Biosphere 2. See why Time Life Books named it one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2, an inspiring adventure for visitors with guided behind-the-scene tours. Open daily, north of Tucson, America's Science City.
Karen, could you run to the supply closet for some trophy polish, please?
Do we have trophy polish?
Well, we better find out. See, I just called Cox Business to give our company faster internet and great phone service.
Oh, good.
They've got a J.D. Power and Associates Award, Karen, and they're going to be here any minute.
So you think they bring the award with them wherever they go?
Put it this way. If you were ranked highest in customer satisfaction, wouldn't you?
Maybe.
I just want to be prepared, Karen. I just want to be prepared.
Shine up your business with Cox Business. Ranked highest in customer satisfaction among data service providers for small and mid-sized businesses. Power your office in Phoenix with Cox Business and take advantage of our special offer. Bundle Cox Business internet and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today. It just makes sense. Visit coxbusiness.com for offer details. Offer valid until April 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Other restrictions apply. For J.D. Power and Associates award information, go to jdpower.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, and today for Bill Buckmaster, and Bill's going to be back on Monday. It's time for our Friday Roundtable featuring local journalists sounding off on the week's top stories. If you have a comment or question, join us on the live line at 790-2040. Joining me are Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, and Linda Valdez, editorial writer for the Arizona Republic. Welcome. Busy week. Guess what we're not going to talk about? We are not going to talk about the U of A's hip hop minor, which has been widely reported on and is a complete waste of money because I'd go off on them for that. And the universities want more money. Unbelievable. The Arizona Daily Star had a story on it today, and I thought the most telling part of the story was that the university president declined to comment.
Well, I don't think that President Ann Weaver Hart is, maybe she's more up on the hip-hop scene than I'm aware of. She doesn't strike me as someone who keeps up with, the comings and goings of pop culture.
I just wonder why they're spending our money on that. But anyway, Sarah, are we going to see immigration reform this year?
I would like to say yes. I hope so. It's been needed for a very long time. I do find it very interesting that now it's suddenly the issue number one for Senator John McCain, who was on the right side of it several years ago and then jumped off quite spectacularly and totally changed his position and said he wouldn't have voted for his own legislation. And now he's back on let's get this thing done, and we need to do this.
And so why, Linda, are the Republicans suddenly interested in immigration reform as if we don't know?
Well, they can count, and they saw what happened to them in November. I mean, the huge turnout of Latinos for Barack Obama is more than just handwriting on the wall. I mean, this is the biggest demographic. It's a growing demographic, and the Republicans have seemed to go out of their way to alienate them over the past few years. So they're trying to secure their own future.
You think it's an earnest change on their part, or they're doing it just for votes?
Politicians, earnest? Did
I'm
you
just,
really say
I'm
that
asking,
in the same sentence?
I'm just asking.
Well, I mean, as Sarah points out, both John McCain and Jeff Flake were for immigration before they were against it,
right.
And now they're for it again. I think they both do sincerely understand the complexities and the need to do this.
Then regarding this issue and those two senators, is Arizona stepping up on this one? Is it going to help our reputation? What do you think?
Well, the Arizona Republic is certainly hoping so. We had two editorials on this topic this week, both of which I wrote, and we have called on our senators to step up and do just that, to make Arizona a leader on this issue, to change our reputation from outlier for 1070 and various other wacko things, Joe Arpaio, to something positive. And I think that there is the potential to do that, because let's face it, we're the state that's most impacted by illegal immigration and drug smuggling. If we take a leadership role, and if by some miracle Jan Brewer could get behind this, it could be good for Arizona's reputation.
Right, and who better to step up than the leaders in a border state?
Absolutely.
Sarah, gun issue. You had a good column, but you don't like the NRA's reasoning for being opposed to background checks.
Thank you for your nice words about my column. I watched the Senate hearing for the Senate Judiciary Committee, and that was the one where Gabrielle Giffords opened the testimony very compellingly with a statement saying it is time for politicians to be courageous and we must act. And interestingly, it was Wayne LaPierre of the NRA. And at the opposite end of the table was Mark Kelly, who's Gabby Gifford's husband. And they have been very forthright and outspoken about the need for sensible and responsible changes to gun laws. And what struck me watching it is that Mr. LaPierre's position, the NRA's position, just didn't hold any water. It didn't make any sense. He didn't answer directly why the NRA would oppose the idea of universal background checks, which would close the loophole where now, if you sold me a gun, you wouldn't have to do a background check because you're not a federally licensed gun dealer, at least as far as I know. So you can buy a weapon without a background check at a gun show, you know, person to person. But if you're a dealer, like a gun store or a lot of sporting goods stores, then you do have to do a background check. So the most compelling part of it, I thought, was when Mark Kelly kind of leaned over and addressed Mr. LaPierre pretty much directly and said that Jared Loughner, the man who shot and killed six people and injured 13, including Gabby Giffords, on January 8th, 2011, he purchased his gun in November. He passed a background check because the database is incomplete. He should not have passed the check. But if he had failed the background check, he would have just had to go to a gun show or look on, you know, sure, a penny saver or something, and he could legally buy a gun. And why is that not a problem? The NRA's position just makes no sense.
Linda, the Republic's interested in this issue.
Yes, we are. And I actually have a column that's going to run Sunday. I take a little bit. I mean, I also watched the hearing. And what struck me was listening to Lindsey Graham talk, and he was just gung-ho about how you need to, every mother should have an assault weapon to defend her children. And what it occurred to me that this is a good position for him to take, because he's also one of the Gang of Eight who are pushing immigration reform. And politically, this gives him a position where he can say to his followers, okay, maybe I'm betraying you on immigration, but I'm with you on guns. And unfortunately, I think because these two issues are both out there right now, both very controversial, what's going to happen is that a lot of the Republicans are going to seek cover for any support of immigration reform by hunkering down on guns.
I wonder if the importance of addressing the mental health issues are slowly slipping to the back of this discussion, however. We've been talking a lot about guns and control and sales and registration, but mental health issues, when are we going to start talking about that seriously?
Well, one thing that struck me and has struck me throughout this process as we've been talking about, changing gun laws in responsible ways is that so many of the supporters of, and Mr. LaPierre has referenced this kind of as well, talking about, you know, we don't want any sort of registration system or licensing or anything to do with guns, but let's have some sort of national database of people who've been diagnosed with a mental illness. I mean, I don't understand how one can be a privacy issue and one could not be a privacy issue. So that's sort of a fundamental disagreement within their own position. But I think that the idea of talking about mental illness, making it not something that is stigmatized, because it's not, you can't treat people who have mental illness and then magically crime stops. It's not a cause and effect necessarily. We need to strengthen mental health services. We need to make it less of a big deal to talk about. We need to be open and honest about it, but we can't do one without the other.
Okay. Well, I think one of the, just I can say really quickly, sure. I think one of the reasons it's falling to the background is because that takes money. You have to invest in mental health services, and that's something that they don't want to do.
I'm Dan Scheer, and I'm joined here on the Reporters Roundtable by Sarah Garrett-Gasson, editorial writer for the Arizona Daily Star, and Linda Valdez, editorial writer for the Arizona Republic. And if you would like to join the conversation, call us on the live line at 790-2040. That's 790-2040. Linda, the governor signed legislation yesterday providing for 50 more CPS workers. That's a good start. What else has to happen?
It is a good start, and it's a really good sign that it went through the legislature as fast as it did. There was a recognition that that's needed. That was a $4.4 million bill. The governor has asked for $82 million total to go into child welfare the rest of this fiscal year and next fiscal year. And that's going to be a hard sell at the legislature, but that will just help us tread water, as the advocates say. The system is so overwhelmed with the huge numbers of children that are now in foster care, record numbers of kids, and it's been an underfunded agency for so many years. That will help us tread water, but the need goes on and on. They've cut something like $300 million out of prevention services since, I think, 2008. And this is one of the reasons we've got this huge influx of kids coming into the system. We've had a 40% increase of kids in foster care. Other states are not experiencing this. And one of the big reasons, according to advocates for child welfare, is that other states provide services to families before they get into a position where they are neglecting or abusing their kids. That's something Arizona needs to look at. But as far as good news, at least they're not saying let's don't throw money at the problem anymore. They've thrown a little money at the problem, and hopefully they'll be willing to invest a little more money in this problem this year.
Well, for lack of a better phrase, why do you think the governor is suddenly coming around on this?
She wants a legacy, I think, is my cynical assessment. Also, I think she did take a year and look at this issue. I think she recognizes the need. I mean, Clarence Carter certainly came around. It took him a long time looking at the issue and saying, no, I'm not going to ask for more money until I'm absolutely sure. And he came around, and he's absolutely sure. But, you know, the governor, she wants a legacy, and she recognizes this is a good way to get it. It's a need that needs to be filled.
Good. Foster care licensing. We've had some action on this that you are not happy with.
Well, there's a crazy bill. There's a couple dumb bills in the legislature. On this issue, right, Sarah? On this issue, there's a couple dumb bills, and one of them would expedite licensing for foster care families. If you make, I think it's $80,000 a year, you've been married for 10 years, and some other characteristic, you have good credit rating. And it's been, this bill, if it were to pass, would jeopardize federal money that comes to the state because it doesn't include the safeguards that are necessary. I'm sure the intentions are good, that they want, okay, let's get more foster parents. But it's a relaxing of safeguards that's just hideous, and it's based on the idea that if you make enough money, then you're okay, which is a really insulting assumption.
Okay.
The other dumb bill, if I may,
sure, vaccinations.
Is vaccinations. Yeah, there are some folks that for some reason or another, sometimes they have medical reasons, usually it's philosophical or religious reasons, don't want to vaccinate their own children. Currently, the state can say, We're not going to place foster kids in those homes unless you vaccinate your children, which is a protection for the foster children, especially for infants that are too young to be vaccinated themselves. There's a bill in the legislature that would say, no, no, the state cannot refuse to place children in homes where the other, where the other children in that home has not been vaccinated. It's a dumb idea.
What's your sense on that? Do you think it's that one's going to go through?
Well, it's gone through committee. I think it stands probably a better chance. There's actually two. There's a bill in the House and the Senate. I'm afraid that one might go through. DES is not actively opposing that one. It has actively objected to the other one.
Okay, and we'll also point out, and it's been reported all day, yesterday the air quality permit for the proposed Rosemont Mine in the Santa Rita Mountains was approved. This is a big hurdle. It's an important one. Save the Scenic Santa Ritas, which opposes the mine, was not real happy about it, and actually took a couple of slaps at the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality, which surprised me a little bit. But we'll see what happens. I wonder at what point will the opponents of the mine start to have to think about, okay, it's coming now. Let's approach it from that standpoint rather than we absolutely don't want it to. I know they're not anywhere near that yet, but good discussion to have. Okay, let's. Sheriff Joe Arpaio, Maricopa County, makes me glad I live here. An effort is underway to recall him. They need 335,000 signatures. Linda, I know you don't live there either, but you're right for the paper that's there. Is this going to happen?
It's going to be a real hard sell. He's won his sixth term. He won it by less of a margin than previously.
Mm-hmm.
He spent a lot of money to do it, and the argument that this might work is that he spent all his money, and maybe he's not going to be able to defend himself. I doubt it. Joe Arpaio is hugely popular in Maricopa County. If you want to get nasty emails, all you have to do is say something in print against Joe Arpaio. He's got his fan base. On the other hand, when they started the recall against Russell Pierce, I said that was hopeless and never going to go anywhere, and it worked. So,
well, I'll tell you, my time at the Republic, some of my funniest phone calls came from Sheriff Joe Arpaio. He's a good guy, and what is he, 80 now?
He's in his 80s, and he has announced that he's going to run again. And I agree with you. I love to talk with him.
Yes.
He's a fun guy. Great to have a beer with. But
hey, and in Green Valley, where I'm from, 80 is a spring chicken, so we're not going to throw that at him. Well, I want to thank you for for your input. This is Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, and Linda Valdez, editorial writer for the Arizona Republic. Thank you, and we will be back after a few messages with The Weekend Watch with Matt Russell.
Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. It's time once again for the Tucson Festival of Books.
I'm Bruce Beach, one of the founders of the Tucson Festival of Books. The festival attracts over 100,000 people, 450 authors, and 250 exhibitors over a three-day period. We work with over 30 different vendors, and it's a pleasure working with Ken and the Arizona Party Rental team. They are one of the most professional group of people I've ever worked with.
Hey, thanks a lot, Bruce. We'll see you at the Tucson Festival of Books on the U of A campus, March 9th through the 10th.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's vscot.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Rugg Gallery is celebrating its 25th anniversary jubilee celebration with a colossal tent sale, offering up to 75% off at La Encantada Shopping Center at Campbell and Skyline in Tucson. With over 2,000 hand-woven imported rugs from around the globe, the Rugg Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. With an international reputation, the Rugg Gallery has graced the cover of Christie's magazine and is featured in many other high-end publications. Stop by and check out the Rugg Gallery with Arizona's largest in-stock inventory of fine, high-quality, hand-woven, imported rugs during the colossal tent sale with up to 75% off at Tucson's La Encantada Shopping Center in the foothills of the Catalinas. Or visit the Rugg Gallery online at ruggalleryaz.com/sale or call 571-RUGGS.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you, completing more than 500 projects since its inception in 2006. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and the Kolb Road extension at Tanque Verde. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Weekend Watch with Matt Russell is presented by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson to historic Silver City, which on Saturday, February 9th, will play host to a chocolate festival featuring 24 purveyors of the sweet stuff. There are plenty of great places to stay, including Bear Mountain Lodge, Casitas de Gila Guest Houses, and Bear Creek Cabins. For more information, visit southwestnewmexico.org. Matt, hello!
Dan, let me say, what a great time listening to you steer the ship today in Bill's absence. I just love when you take over the microphone. I learned so much. And when you said 80 years old as a spring chicken.
Hey, there we go, baby. There we go. Hey, it's Super Bowl weekend. What's going on?
Yeah, you know, what do we think about most during Super Bowl? It's wings, beer, and big sandwiches, Dan. And, of course, there's plenty to feast on this weekend as we prepare for the big game. Let's start with wings. There's so many good ones to choose from around town, but for this weekend, Dan, we like Finney's Landing on Sunrise and Swan. These guys have 8 varieties of wings, from classic buffalo to pineapple habanero, even Jamaican jerk. I was just there last night, and I took down a couple of orders of these babies myself. So there's a wing for every palate at Finney's. Give one a try this weekend as you prepare for the big game, Dan.
Good stuff. What else?
Yeah, you know, on the Suds circuit, we just love all of Tucson's microbreweries. And another one opens tomorrow at noon. It's called 1055 Brewing over 3810 East 44th Street. And, Dan, their tasting room is going to be featuring a special pale ale, an American wheat, kind of a hoppy IPA, and a dark stout. There's going to be plenty of beer, music, and food truck fun to go around tomorrow. I say try 1055 Brewing for some local brews.
Okay, cheesesteaks.
Love big sandwiches, and what's Super Bowl without a big one and a gorgeous one? We like Frankie's South Philly cheesesteaks over on North Campbell. Imagine a bag full of Frankie's Best when you show up to your party on Sunday. We're talking authentic cheesesteaks on Amarosa rolls, huge hoagies that are going to make friends out of Ravens and 49ers fans alike. Now, Dan, I like mine with Cheese Whiz. What about you?
You know, I got to be honest with you. I don't touch the stuff. I just don't do it.
Now
you
that's
know?
Breaking news, then.
Well, I also don't drink, though. You do not want me at your Super Bowl party. I'm the wallflower. However, I do have a little question for you, and you knew I was going to throw this at you. My 25th anniversary is Wednesday. If I want to see 26th, I better take her to the right place. What is it?
Yeah, okay. Boy, so many to choose from, but anniversaries are all about romance, and romance and a special occasion. Of all the places, Dan, I think you and your wife are going to enjoy the Grill at Hacienda del Sol, many times overvoted Tucson's most romantic setting for a lovely meal. Dinner for two, table for two for the Shearers on Wednesday. You can't go wrong, man.
Excellent. Appreciate it. Thank you, Matt Russell.
Enjoy.
Hey, quick plug here for the Two Back Festival of the Arts going on February 6th through the 10th. That's Wednesday through Sunday down in my neck of the woods, Two Back. Take I-19 South and you can't miss it. Bottled water on The Buckmaster Show is provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of treatment products and services available to your home or business. Hey, make it a great weekend. Enjoy the Super Bowl, Southern Arizona.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.